Welcome to Al Berman Live from a studio apartment in North Hollywood, California. This is episode 86, and, you know, I did something I don't normally do. Normally, when I start off the recording of this, because I'm a one-man band here, folks, I've got the flute in my hand, but this time I put the recording on, and then I had to pick up the flute, and I was a little bit disheveled, and you might have heard the beginning, but you know what? I'm keeping it that way, because it's DIY, folks. Do it yourself. And that's the way it's going to be. Oh, welcome to episode 86 here of my podcast. And heck of a week. First thing, you know, I was talking about, I've got a neighbor who's allegedly working on my website. And it's, to say it's going slowly is to say there's almost no movement. Forgive me, you know, for saying this. Now, I went to this person. Forgive me. You're going to judge me. No, you might judge me. I went to this person and I just told them straight up, you know, listen, you know, you do this and I pay you. And then, you know, you teach me how to maintain it. But it's going so friggin' slow. I mean, I don't know. You know, there was like one little eensy teensy bit of movement this week that it was almost negligible to say, you know, basically. And, you know, quite frankly, I am looking around for, I'm going to start looking around because I told this person, you know, there's no deadline, but I don't want this to go on for months. And at this rate, I mean, if he can't do it, fine. He's still my neighbor. I still consider him a friend. I don't want to make this, to hurt our friendship here. You know, he's a good guy. He's a very, very sweet, nice person. But if there's no movement. It's like if I went to Deb's to get my hair cut and I just sat there for a month while she sharpened her scissors. Oh my God. Wouldn't that be weird? I go to Deb's, get a cut and color, and my hair gets longer and grayer as I sit there. But I had an incident with my website this week where I blamed this gentleman. I thought he did something because the whole thing is he's put together a development site where he's going to do all this development work so it won't affect the actual website. You know, keep the website intact until we need to change it, and then boom, we change it. So I did my podcast last week. I uploaded it. And then when I went to see how it looked, my homepage was all screwed up, and I almost hit the roof. And it was kind of late at night when I actually found out about this, and like 12:30 in the morning. Okay, so it was too late to actually text and, you know, contact my neighbor because, you know, he lives a regular existence where people go to sleep at a reasonable hour. And so I waited, but I was cursing him up a storm in my head. And, you know, what did he do? He was supposed to do, you know, am I going to, you know, I was really pissed off. And then the next day, you know, I get up and first I call GoDaddy. GoDaddy are my hosts. They host my website, and I ask the person there, and they go and investigate, and they go, you know, there's nothing we can do on our end. They said, it's happened on your end. A file changed on your end. Oh, great. What the hell did this guy do, you know? So I call him up. No, I wasn't, you know, I wasn't being impolite. You know, again, I'm not going to ruin my friendship with this person. So I call him up, and I go, what did you do? And he goes, what do you mean? And he goes, my home page is different. He goes, yeah, I noticed that. I didn't do anything. I go, what do you mean you didn't do anything? He goes, I noticed it this morning. I said, you must, he said to me, I thought you must have changed. I go, me? How can I change it? I don't know how to change it. And then it occurred to me when I was uploading the actual podcast, instead of hitting the publish site changes link, which makes it go much faster. You know, I mean, you know, you just publish the newest episode, and it doesn't take that long to get published. I hit publish entire site, which I've got, you know, at this point, we got 80, 85 episodes. I'm on 86 right now. So this is going to take a long time, and so I hit cancel. Well, unbeknownst to me, it must have started, according to my techie neighbor, it started to write the file, or whatever it does. And by canceling it, it didn't cancel it altogether, and it made it weird. You know, so he helped me actually fix it. We couldn't find the actual original homepage, but we got one that's, you know, I can live with, and that was decent. And then I joked with him because I said something to him about him last week on the podcast. What did I say? I said, I don't know. You know, I must have been I talked about something about him, and I said, listen, don't listen to episode 85, and he laughed. He's got a good sense of humor about it, and, you know, and I don't think he would fault me for, you know, putting feelers out there to look for, you know, somebody that's going to, you know, I want someone that's going to be able to do the job. I mean, it seems to me like it's somebody that knows what, really knows what they're doing could probably do this pretty quickly. It shouldn't go on and on and on. It's very frustrating. I mean, I still can't get into the iTunes store. By the time I get in the iTunes store, it's, I don't even know if you need to get in the iTunes store anymore, but I know I want to be in the iTunes store. It's a goal of mine. I've got to reach that goal. So, but the thing about me blaming him for it was like a classic case of projection, huh? I do it and I blame him. So, we got to the bottom. We got to the bottom of that. And then, you know, I have my iPhone. You know, it's quite a contraption here. And I have these apps, like everybody, you know, I get these apps on there. And they're constantly being upgraded. And there was an upgrade this week. What was it? I believe the upgrade was, let me see here. It was a new, for iTunes. And so, in order to upgrade it, you had to agree to the new iTunes rules. And they said there were literally 54 pages. I mean, this is just a case of, are you friggin' kidding me? You know, I might have signed away my rights to free speech here. I don't know. I disagree because I don't know what. 54 pages? You know what? Screw you. Screw you and your lawyers, your stupid friggin' lawyer speak. Ridiculous 54 pages. Like someone's going to read 54. I don't even read one page of these stupid things. You know, these disclaimers. Oh, man. Oh, man. So, I talked about this kid in my building who doesn't live here, but his father does. And him and his brother visit his father quite often. And they seem like they're a nice family. They kind of keep to themselves. I respect that. And I mentioned how, like, during the hottest part of the summer, this kid who's about, I think, 11 or 12, and he's very slender, would wear a leather jacket. You know, I always say, gosh, it's like 100 degrees, and you're wearing a leather jacket. And so I started to get concerned. My bizarre, overly, you know, worried Jewish imagination starts thinking, maybe he's afraid to show his arms. He's been abused. His father is sticking hot irons on the arm. I mean, I don't know. I didn't get a feeling he was abused. He didn't seem like an abused kid. But or maybe he's self-conscious about his arms. Maybe he thinks they're too thin. Or maybe he's got, you know, whatever. You know how people get. So, you know, I kind of busted his chops a couple times. And I stopped because I felt like, you know, he might be sensitive about this. I don't want to make him, you know, any more self-conscious. Well, lo and behold, this kid is quite unique because now what's happening as the weather is getting cooler, now he's going sans jacket. Like the last two times I saw him, like I saw him today. I was out exercising. He's got no jacket on. And a couple days ago, his mother told me something like, you know, as it gets colder, he's going to be wearing less clothes. It's like, the kid is unique. He's an individual. He's a rebel. He's going against the grain. Either that or he's completely out of his freaking mind. But I was glad to see his arms, his bare arms, and that there were no marks. I didn't have to call child services. Nobody was being reported. Nobody was getting sent away. And I was glad for that. I was totally glad for that. What else? Let me see here. Oh, I ran into my friend Jason in the in Gougers this week. And he's got his little boy in a stroller. And his little boy, Solomon, is about a year and a half, something like that. And almost a year and a half. And, you know, one time I ran into the kid with his mother and I tried to make him laugh. Well, I made him laugh one time with Jason, but then another time I saw him with his mother and I tried to make him laugh the same way and he cried. So now I'm very, you know, I approach him very gingerly with ginger. Couldn't resist that. Very delicately, you know, I don't want to frighten the kid. But I noticed the last couple times I look at him, he's got this blank, judgmental stare. It's just so freaking hilarious. He just looks at me like, who are you? Yeah, who are you? Yeah, look at me. I'm in my stroller. I know everything. You know, it's just funny. I just look at this kid, and I said, man, that look is priceless. Keep that look forever, man. That's a good look to have, especially if you go to end up going to prison. No, just kidding. God forbid, as my mother would say, God forbid he go to prison. God forbid. No, he just looks very judgmental. And I noticed that the way he sits in his stroller, like it's like he's got one foot up. It's like he's like a pimp, like a baby pimp. He's pimping. And so I was talking to Jason, and I just said, you know, and then occasionally I would try to, you know, talk to the kid. And at one point, me and Jason are talking, we're completely ignoring the kid, and all of a sudden he starts laughing and smiling. And, we look at him and he goes back to being judgmental. Totally judgmental. Judging me on my life. Judging me on my choices. Saying to me, oh, look at you, Mr. Big Funny Man in the supermarket, overpaying for, more money for apples than a person should. You know, paying for two apples, what my grandfather used to live on for an entire week when he first came to America. I paid like six. I got these two apples, these two big apples. You know what the price was? $6.66. I love it when I get a price like that. It's always so funny. It's just so funny. $6.66. What does that mean? People get so uptight about that number. Or they make jokes about it. Anyway. So I went to Koreatown this week. And I had dinner with my good friend Jess. Jess is a composer friend of mine. He's very composed. And he works as a composer. Musical composer. Anyway. There's this Korean place we like to go to. It's open 24 hours a day in Koreatown, and a very interesting place. They give you like soup that is so hot when it comes to your table. It's like boiling. You would definitely get some kind of second, third degree burn if that stuff was to spill on you when you bring it over. And so we go there, and it caters to a crowd of people from, you know, of Korean people. And then you see a lot of whiteies there, like me. And you see some black people and Latino people and other kind of Asians. You know, people speak English. And the wait staff doesn't necessarily speak the language we call English all that well. And so if you veer off course and ask him any questions, I hadn't been there in over a year, and they had one new thing, and I don't know. I asked a question and the lady got nervous, and she fled. She fled our table and she went to get another lady who took her place. And the other lady came who was equally, well versed in English. And it was just like, okay, let me just order and point. you're pointing. And, you know, she asked me a question. Because the soup, we ordered a combination thing. You get the soup and you get this, like a meat plate. And so they asked us, you know, what degree, like, spiciness we want the meat. And then, and when the soup, I don't know, she was like pointing the soup. And then my friend Jess guessed, oh, she wants to know, you know, what degree spiciness we want. Somehow he was able to discern that. And so we were able to order. And then at some point, this younger male comes and he brings us some stuff. I don't know. I don't know if they're like a busboy. They, you know, they bring stuff to the table. I guess it would be kind of busboy. And this guy, I mean, he more than likely was born here. I mean, if he wasn't, he was, you know, came when he's very young because his English was impeccable. And I said to him, dude, why are you not waiting on tables? You know, he started kind of laughing a little bit. I go, it's like ridiculous here. I mean, we're not dealing just with people from Korea. This is like people who, like me, I don't speak Korean. I know, like, you know, one, yabaseo, which means, I think means hello or welcome. And it's like that, yabaseo. It's a da-da-da. So I was telling this story. There's a little gathering. And there was this girl there who's very politically correct, very politically correct. And she took umbrage with what I was saying because I was saying that, you know, they really need to get people, they should be speaking English. And I mean, especially, you know, for people like me who are patronizing their place. And she just thought that was racist. You know, I mean, we've gone from racist being where you don't allow a certain group to eat at a lunch counter, or you stick dogs on them, or you hang them from trees, to actually thinking it might be a nice gesture if when people come to your country, this country, that they would learn the language of this country. You know, it's just the political, and it's always a white person. It's never anybody of color. Whenever I've been called a racist in my comedy by a white lady, and in front of a bunch of black comedians who all loved what I was doing, I was basically doing an impression of an older black comedian, but I didn't say he was black, I was doing pretty much a dead on impression, and it was funny. And I don't see where that was racist. How is that racist? I'm just copying, imitating exactly what he does. Or how he sounds. So this person's called me a racist, and that just, you know, burns my behind, because it's like, you know, first of all, I am not a racist. I mean, I'm not saying, listen, we're all conditioned on some level because of the way we've been raised, okay? But I'm, you know, I love everybody, okay? All right, I love people. I don't judge people by color of their skin or their sexual orientation. Or anything like that, you know, or your religion. I'm a good man. I'm a damn good man. So, but I was called a racist by this lady. And she has to live with the fact, you know, I don't know what these people are thinking. You know, these people, oh, I know. And then I brought up the fact that I was watching this, watching a documentary on prostitution, and I've only seen the beginning, so I think the beginning is like in Thailand. I don't know if it goes in other countries. And I was talking about how, like, some of these girls, they pray to, they must be Buddhists or something. They're praying to an altar, and they're praying for customers. You know, these are people with extreme poverty. And she said, this girl who called me racist, she goes, well, I hope that there's some kind of redemption at the end of the film. It's like, shut up, you white girl. See, that's the black man in me from a past life coming out. Shut up, you politically correct person. Yeah, I mean, everything is just gonna. It's a documentary, okay? These things exist. You know, this girl actually one time said to a security guard, who I know, who was an armed security guard, she asked him if his gun was real. So, God bless this girl. I don't think she's going to listen to this podcast. If she does, whatever. She's going to have to live with, she's going to have to face the fact that she's, you know, she's not, she's a little off base here, okay? Just a little teensy-weensy, bitsy-witsy, schmitzy off base. All right. Enough of that. It's not like, you know, Adam Carolla was like supposedly ranting about Mexicans being lazy and stuff like that. And I, you know, that's racist. And I don't want to, I'm taking it out of context. I'm not calling him a racist. But if somebody were to say something like that, that would be a race. That's a racist comment. Because you're taking, you're accusing an entire group. Okay, I've made my point. I've gone on and on. If I explain myself any further, I'm going to turn into a racist. So, you know, in the beginning of this new year coming up, January, allegedly in Los Angeles, they're going to ban plastic bags in grocery stores, so we won't be bagging in plastic bags anymore, and they're going to charge 10 cents per paper bag. It's just, you know, ridiculous. It's just like, really? Now we got to pay for paper? You know, it's, they're going to hold our groceries hostage. Oh, we're supposed to bring our own bags in. You know, it's just ridiculous. And it's already happening. I went to a Whole Foods in Glendale, California. And I went over there and I got something out of the hot food bar and I wanted to put it in the bag and they said, well, it's 10 cents. I said, well, have at it, folks, because I am a big spender. I will spend big. When it comes to, listen, when it comes to my shopping, 10 cents a paper bag, give me a double bag. All right? All right, Bianch? Give me a double bag. I'll pay 20 cents. I do get double bags. Because you know, if you don't get a double bag, the problem with the paper bags, with the handles, is when the handles break. So if you get a double bag, you got four handles. If one breaks, you still got three handles. Okay, have I explained? Oh, it's really like very fallish day here. And it's already getting darkish out. I think this is, I think this was a sufficient enough podcast for you podcast listeners out there. Thank you all, any and all who listen. Really appreciate it. Keep listening. I'll keep you posted. Hopefully I'll get this situation rectified with my neighbor and we'll get this show on the road. Or if not, then I'll find some. I know I will find somebody. That much I know. It will happen. This will happen. So until next time, this is Al Berman live from a studio apartment in North Hollywood, California.